Blog Talk Radio.
Now, this is the Now Sabbath Gathering Ministry Hour. Now, your spoken word, almost a guest. Maybe I am a guest on this program, but your spoken word messenger is W.J. Armstrong. And I want to thank you for joining. Those who joined by telephone and those who joined by computer, we will spend a little time this afternoon dealing with our God. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. Our God is a God of forgiveness, not hate or hated. Now, think about it. That evidently, that statement implies something that I hope that you will see as we go through our message for the day. We're going to have two scriptures, two primary scriptures. One is dealing with, well, both of them basically dealing with forgiveness. But I hope that you're able to see some of the reasons that Jesus asked for forgiveness for the people. So let us pray. Almighty everlasting creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this time as we take your word and let your Holy Spirit reveal the hidden meaning to us, and that word may become a light unto our feet. And our words will be able to apply to our everyday living situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, welcome. And we will deal with the two scriptures first, and then we will move down and start talking about forgiveness and hate. And a little background information before we get into the scriptures, though. This has been in my spirit for the last maybe 5 years or so. This whole thing about hate and forgiveness. And what really got to me was that here we had the top people at that time, the one that was running for president of the Christian nation. Well, I hope you listening to me, the Christian nation, and the top person that was sitting there who was neither Christian, well, let's put it this way, he was not following the teaching of Jesus whenever. And anybody want to question me, if you are not dealing with the word and applying the word and lining up what comes out of his mouth with what the word says, I'm not listening to you. Take it on someplace else. And because the Bible is clear, you say I'm being judgmental, that's a lie too. The Bible is clear that we are known by our fruits. And what comes out of your mouth is one of your fruits. How you behave towards others is part of your fruit. And that's some of the conclusion that I arrived at. And my whole thing was that how could I sit down with our youth and tell them how they need to be living and give them the word whenever they're looking at the people that's the head of the nation that are immoral, that's a liar, and the big lie. And he hasn't even stopped, even after he moved out of that, or removed out of that position, and that's where I saw God. God's intervention had took place at the time whenever he had to give that position up that he held. And he introduced many concepts that was contrary to the biblical teaching, got introduced during the time that he was the president. I just name it. We're talking about the former president. And before you, again, want to get bent out of shape, I'm not Republican, neither am I Democrat. I'm independent, and I make my decision based on my belief, based on what I understand the word to be, and based on the being that created me. And I'm not the name. I just call him the creator of the Most High. Because my Jewish, my rabbi brother, they make it clear that, you know, they don't even use the word God because they don't see that they are capable to use that word. That's why you have Elohim. That's why you have I am that I am. And that's why you have Yahweh. And whenever the disciples asked Jesus, and that's the Messiah, asked the Messiah, because Jesus is, again, is a creation of Western European theology. The scripture is clear that we should not make any graven image. And that image that they give us of a blue-eyed, blonde-haired, fair skin, that person is not biblical. You can find in the Bible the description of it. So, saying all that, I know that some of the people, less like I was going through what I went through, and I was a believer. I am a believer. And that whole thing of what I saw had an impact on me, and it would have been negative if I had not had a foundation in the truth. And during that time, we were told alternative facts. Alternative facts? That's not biblical either. A scripture, that's not scripture. Now we are getting to a point where we are looking at scripture versus the book. What man said is the Holy Bible. What does the scripture say? And how do we know? We go back to the beginning. You go to the what people are calling the Old Testament, which is the book of the Torah. We can go there and see what was written back then, because what they're calling New Testament, all Jesus did, he fulfilled the old, and fulfilling means that what was predicted back then, he became that person. He began to implement that, that manifested in his thought, his thinking, because he studied the scripture, the scrolls himself. And he started to show himself approved even before he was chosen. And he couldn't do anything himself until the Holy Spirit came into him. And God, after his baptism, God said the Spirit descended into him. And God said that and he was his beloved son and said he was well pleased. But now let's get back here. Now don't forget the title. Our God, or you are God, Yahweh, Elohim, whatever name that you have that you use, just transpose it there and put it in there. He is forgiveness. Elohim, he forgives. He doesn't hate. Now you say, now aren't you stretching it? No, I'm not stretching it. If God hated, I would be dead because of some of the things that I've done was completely against his word, but yet he forgave me. And now here I am now, one of his chosen ones to provide the word and lead his people. So now let's get to Luke 23rd chapter. We're going to do the 34th through the 38 verses. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I hear forgiveness. Here Jesus is asking the Creator, his Creator, to forgive them. Why? He said, but they know not what they do. And then he goes on. What were they doing or what will they do? And it's the reason that he says, and they cast lots to divide his garment. And people stood by watching, but the rulers and the rulers scoffed at him. What do? They scoffed at him saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Question his identity, question his purpose, question the words that came out of his mouth that he shared with the disciples. And he asked the Father to forgive them. And then they go on. And they said, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar and saying, what did they say? If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now, if he would have saved himself, he would not have been able to reconcile us back to the Father. He would not have been able to undo that which Adam did whenever he was in the garden. And then there was also an inscription over him. This is the king of the Jews. All of this now, Jesus, he could have did the way that some of us, I know, well, I used to do, and want to just smack people, want to just wipe them out and punch them out, as opposed to saying, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they do. Now, we're still talking about forgiveness. And here, that was the combination. But now, forgiveness, let's go to Matthew. That was Luke, the physician. And it's interesting. Forgiveness, unforgiveness, wind up having an impact on your health, your physical health, your mental health. I know whenever I used to hate and unforgiveness for what people have done and let hate come in, I used to have stomach problems because I hated. And that impacted my physical body. I'm not dealing with the spiritual thing. The spiritual thing kept you looking for ways to destroy, and even kill the person or persons. And then we look at what the scripture says. Scripture says that the devil, what does the devil do? Steal, kill, and destroy. It's interesting. But now let's get down to Matthew. Matthew 18, 21, 23. And this is another example of forgiveness. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Who's him?" We're talking about the Messiah. "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" See, forgiveness is a good mental health tool, if you want to call it that. It relieves that stress. It relieves that tension from you. And then, because Jesus was clear, and then he says, how many times my brother sinned against me and give him as many as 7 times. And Jesus said to him, the Messiah, said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. And because the Messiah understood that sometimes forgiveness is a process. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth, we say we forgive, but it's not part of what's in our heart. What's in what comes out of our mouth sometimes is what is convenient for us at that time. And at that time, maybe you say you forgive somebody because they have something that you want and you are in the process of trying to manipulate them to get them to do that which you want done. And it has nothing to do with the way you really feel. But, and let's get down here to hatred. I hate. What is hate? And hate, it comes about, I want you to think about. Think about what you or what you thought about when you hated somebody. I hate it. But you don't have to hate a person. You can hate something. And we have to just think about it. Well, I hate this road I'm driving down. Got too many bumps. It's got too many potholes and all of that. Hatred. But you got to drive down there. But so let's move on. Hate, it comes as a result of strong dislike or ill will. Ill will towards a person or thing. Ill will. And you can break it down. It can be an emotional attitude. And a person may oppose, detest, or despise contact with a thing or a person. And I just use me again because I can talk about me in the present, and I can talk about the impact that the subject has upon me. And I didn't particularly care being at the school I was at. And, you know, you say, well, why you stay there? Well, I felt that I didn't want to go to school 5 years, so I made the adjustment, but it didn't happen overnight. And what did I do? I self-medicated. I would have some distilled spirits every opportunity I could get because I didn't particularly care of being there. And that was the way that I was handling that reaction that came about. And eventually what happened was friends of mine one day came to me and they said, look, you need to get yourself together. There's buddies from, they were twins from New York. And they said, you need to get yourself together. And we sat down and had a conversation with me and we talked about it and they said, look, one graduate, we all gonna graduate. And I thought about that. Here, they saw something in me and that they saw that I could survive staying there and that it wasn't all of that bad. So that sort of helped me deal with it. And the hatred that I had, that was built up, it's because I found I didn't like the way that you had to dress. I just found all kinds of reasons why I should hate that place. And so it started to have an impact. If I hadn't changed, no telling what alcohol, I mean, those distilled spirits would have impact that it would have had on me. And then when we look at despise, contact with a thing or a person, and then seek, when we look at forgiveness, and forgiveness help you to alleviate that hatred or what was causing that hate. And see, when we look at even the Bible, there's a time to love and a time to hate. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8. It's in there because the divine spirit of the universe, the creator, knew that we would be going through this if we, because we have free will. He gave us free will. And he knew that if we didn't apply the word to situations and circumstances that we will be facing, that we will be in a love-hate situation. And so let's go on. The Bible also says, the book says that Elohim, he hates religiosity. And whenever we look at that, what is he saying? Yeah, we play in church. We play in that believing. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. And he hates wrongdoing, hates divorce, hates violence, hates idolatry, and that practice of it. So if we are not doing things according to his word, and that's all over the what we call the Old Testament, Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and that was some of the prophets. Jeremiah and Hosea were prophets. And whenever you look there, and what are some of the qualities of the Creator, and then you look at them, and you give, that will help you gain some insight into why hatred is not of him. Why I said that you know people by their fruit. Why I said that I had a few problems with the evangelical Christian, the white evangelical Christian, white male evangelist Christian. They hated. They didn't like me. About people who look like me. And they were all about themselves. It was all about people who look like them. And why do I say that? What happens on Sunday morning? Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. And yes, non-white people have their own church. White people have theirs. And let's be real about things. I grew up at a time when the farming and the small farmer, that was before what I call the machine age, and that was whenever you had sharecroppers. And the sharecroppers were the ones that work for others. And as a result of them working for others, they supposed got a share of everything that they produce. Well, what did we say? And one of the qualities of God in terms of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, is holiness and justice. Holiness and justice and mercy. Well, when I apply that to the way they treated the sharecroppers, evidently they must have a different God, because if they were quote-unquote Christians, then they would not follow the same Bible, same book that the sharecroppers were following, because they proud of their labor, they work hard, they brought in a good crop, and what happened? They were still in debt. They never got out of debt. But as a result of that, where do we go back up? Evidently, then my sister and father forgive them, for they know not what they do, because they were able to work, continue to work under those conditions. Now, we are looking, and I mean we are looking at in America, we're looking at hatred and unforgiveness. We have what we call now red states and blue states. And people live in those spaces that they identify. Therefore, the people, and the people are the state. Therefore, the people must be red and blue. And as a result of that, they are in conflict with each other. Whereas it wasn't this bad before the previous president took office. People did attempt to try to work together, try to do the right thing. But now, it's just people are basically arrogant. And we are about to the point where we have to finish this next week. I'm not defending, I guess that was fraudulent slip. When we can break down the different types of forgiveness, and whereby we can see ourselves and we see and understand what's happening to us spiritually and physically, because the unforgiven spirit is not at peace. A person that has the unforgiven spirit is not at peace. And that's one of the things. I have friends and relatives that work in the VA. And one of the things that I see that's happening, and even in my conversation with them, what is happening is that they are being confronted by individuals who have not forgiven themselves for what they did. They understand that they were doing things according to what the state or the nation requested them to do. And because of that, some of them could not continue to live with what the way that made them feel, even when they returned. So, and I pray for them, because if they are like going in the lion's den, I like going in the fire furnace, because in talking with them, they are not sure what they're going to get day by day, whether the people are going to come in and explore and begin to take things out on them. So, as I said, the program format is first 30 minutes, one put forth the message, and the next 15, that it's time for discussion. And we're at the point now where the discussion point starts. And anybody, I mean, open the mic. And this is, I do this because I used to sit in the pews, and I had questions. And I was never given an opportunity to ask the question. And then because Reverend would leave after he shook hands at the door, he was gone. And you never got the opportunity. And then the theology, you don't question God, not that the pastor was God, but the message that he gave, he or she gave, was the word of God, so you didn't question it. But my thing was that if I don't ask God the question, how am I going to learn? And if I don't ask the person that's there representing God and the one that's making that those statements, how am I going to understand? So that's why it is formatted the way it's formatted. So I just opened the mic. We appear to only have one person today that's calling in, that's listening via telephone. We do have several people that listen by computer. And so any questions or comments about anything that was said or what was should have been said that was not said? Then, if there was no question, no comments, because either everything was clear or everything was confused. Therefore, I'm going to operate out of the assumption that it was clear and that people are reflecting on what was said. And maybe at a future time, a question will come back. Those of you who listen via computers, the email address is talkingdrums, TalkingDrums, the number 12, @gmail.com. If you send a question or comment, and so long as it's not a conspiracy theory based on a conspiracy theory, so long as it's not I think I feel, if it's a question about the word or interpretation of the word or how to apply the word to your daily living, I will more than happy to be glad to respond to it. So if there's no questions and no comments, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will be here next Saturday, and we will go a little bit deeper into the forgiveness, a little bit deeper into hatred, a little bit deeper into what we are living. And my whole thing, that's why the name is the now, N-O-W. Dealing with what happened yesterday, that's history. And that scripture that guides that is Isaiah 43:18-19, where God told me don't, and we tell everybody who reads it and understands it, you don't dwell on former things. He says that he's doing an old thing a new way. And he asks you the question, do you not perceive it? And then he goes on and talks about what he's doing in the way. Well, whenever I look at that and I apply, what is the new thing, a new way God is doing an old thing in my life? And as I sit with allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me, then I am enlightened, and I don't get all that bent out of shape like I used to. And shalom, shalom. May the peace of God passes all understanding be with you and your household and those who are in your circle. Until next week, we say go in peace.